Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
A lot of big boy and big girl love here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Shout out to our TV for showing on ESPN Plus. Ooh. The LA coastline. I was going to shout that out earlier. Gotta love it, Junior. Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Janae Ogunmake and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, of course, we can't wait. We'd love to talk about the MVP conversation after Steph Curry just did some major damage on his tear versus the Philadelphia 76ers and the entire league for the last 10 or so games. But there were also, you know, this hour, we'll get to that. We'll also get to an interesting story that broke involving Vanessa Bryant and the Kobe Bryant family deciding to end their relationship with Nike. And more fun is on the way, hopefully. Obviously, that news broke by Nick DePaula, our own ESPN sneaker, I guess you can say insider,
sneaker
right?
insider, like, reporter, like
reporter, sneaker insider. That was a huge one.
That was a big get. That was a big get. And, like, quite honestly, he's got the market cornered on that. Job well done by Nick.
He really does. You should be friends with him because, obviously, if you, like, need sneakers, I'm sure he's the plug. And then, of course, we'll get to the Janae and Golic Jr. mock draft, which starts in a few minutes. So excited. We've got the first and second picks, which probably might be, like, a little bit known. But I'm excited that we'll get our affiliates involved there. But, obviously, today, there are really bigger things at play because the sports world, along with the rest of the world, has been preparing in society for the Derek Chauvin verdict, which has been reached in the trial. Obviously, Derek Chauvin, the police officer charged in the killing of George Floyd almost a year ago. Now, we saw the past few weeks the NBA putting out statements for player safety in advance of this. Obviously, we also saw the Minnesota Timberwolves and Brooklyn Nets postponed a game after the shooting of an unarmed black man, Dante Wright, in the same community, a suburb of Minneapolis. And so we have the verdict, and hopefully, you know, it will be shared soon. And I know a lot of people are collectively holding their breaths and nervous, but we are here with you. It's an emotional time, and just do whatever makes you feel, you know, present and at peace and at home, because it is difficult and it's something we're going to have to wrangle with. It's not just a verdict is reached and then everything goes back to normal. We know that this has greater implications on our society, on each and every one of us. And so hopefully, obviously, this marathon will continue where we use our platforms to help bring people together. And I know we're awaiting the verdict, and Junior, it's just been hard to process. Normally we scroll our timelines for sports and fun, but I know a lot of people are a little, you know, very anxious right now.
Yeah, we've been a lot like everyone else, where we came in here today with a whole plan for a show, and then we saw that this verdict was getting ready to be read, and we immediately had to prepare ourselves for what's going to happen, because you mentioned this is a societal response. We've seen sports has no longer stuck just to that, and we've got athletes that have been making big-time statements going back to last year when this all came to light. Worth noting, as we also talked about, the Minnesota teams that, after that shooting, we're postponing games preemptively, those leagues. The Timberwolves are at the Kings, the Twins are at the A's, and the Wild are off. So all the Minnesota pro sports teams are out of town until at least the 23rd of April. And so, not that that's the most important thing in all of this at all, but for people looking for, all right, how might this affect some of the things? If we might see a response from some of these teams and leagues, at least locally, there's not going to be a lot of crossover right this second.
And hopefully we'll get voices on to sort of talk about what's going on in the ground. Myron Metcalf, who is a familiar voice on ESPN Radio, I believe, Junior, you confirmed he's on his way to actually be a part of the community as this verdict is being read, which I believe, I just got a text, it could be, you know, people are assembling right now, so it could be very soon. But it is a difficult day, and I know, like, I personally feel like I'm holding my breath and nervous and anxious. But, you know, obviously, it's never easy to deal with these situations, but we try our best to continue to bring you joy and happiness here on Janae and Golic Jr. And of course, we will confront those difficult conversations once we find out more information. But Junior, until then, obviously, I mean, yesterday, Steph Curry, just wild beyond my own imagination that this man would continue to pace the NBA with his shooting. I mean, this is something we all know. Steph Curry is a great shooter, but what he's been doing, when obviously his team is, it's a very difficult chance for them to make it all the way up the standings. But, you know, I think the person that said it best was his coach, Steve Kerr, Warriors head coach, said in his presser, he's seen some greats, but honestly, this leaves me speechless on Steph Curry's performance.
I don't know what else to say. You know, you guys ask me after every game what I think of Steph and his performance. And it's whatever I said last game, just use that tonight. It's the same thing after every game. It's just utter amazement at this guy's skill level, heart, mind, focus. It's just amazing to watch.
Janae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinua Achebe. And he's right. I mean, what we've seen over the last 11 games, Steph has averaged 40 points per game, has made 78 threes, shot 54 from the field, 50% from three, and 90 from the free throw line in those games. He's averaged 40 points on 50-40-90 shooting. He has 11 straight 30-point games. That's the most by any player over the age of 33 in NBA history. So you're right, Chinua, and all that being said, he still shouldn't be the MVP. He still shouldn't be someone that we're shoving unnecessarily up to the top, because remember what we saw not too long after that, later that evening. 47-15-8 from Nikola Jokic, who's been the odds-on MVP favorite for a while now, who lost his superstar teammate in Jamal Murray and still has that team rocking in fourth place, which we know can be a difficult read on this. According to ESPN stats and info, historically, there have been four MVP winners that have come from teams that have finished a fourth seed or lower in their respective conference. So it's an uphill battle to climb, but ultimately, Chinua, it's still been something we've gotten the joyous pleasure to watch because he's actually been on the court, which we can't say for all our NBA superstars this year.
And it has been a criticism of Steph. Like, you know, his health has been in question quite a bit. But you make a really good point, because when Steph does this, it's amazing. It's show-stopping. It's must-watch basketball. But what Jokic has done has been equally impressive. And obviously his team is higher up in the standings. But just because he doesn't have the allure of Steph, it sort of is like, oh, we can eke him out in the conversation for maybe a Joel Embiid who missed 19 or so games, I think. Or maybe we can eke it out for a Steph who just is a showstopper. And that's the hard part. When you remove these players from their histories, obviously, I think that this is one thing that makes it abundantly clear. Jokic probably should be the favorite. Joel Embiid right there in the mix, but like Steph Curry, for what he has done, he's consistently been leading the league top three in scoring. He deserves his flowers as well, and I'm glad that we get to see him do his thing at 33. But honestly, I'm very scared, because the way he shoots the ball, I mean, how do you shoot it any better? Like, that he's going to continue to perfect his craft. What does that mean, like, for the years to come? And he's also, you know, light and wiry and moving around like that. We could be experiencing this from Steph Curry for, like, the next three or four seasons.
Well, what's amazing to consider, and I did Highly Questionable with Bomani Jones earlier today, and he brought this up about Steph and about the Golden State Warriors style, is it's never been about one star player on that team. It's been free-flowing team basketball. It's what made it so appealing to Kevin Durant when he ended up choosing them as part of the Hampton Five. But now you've got Steph out there basically on an island. You've got one man against everyone. I said it was like in the Matrix watching Neo fight all of those Mr. Smiths at once and somehow fend them off. And so now we get to see Steph sort of unleashed in a way that may not have happened otherwise in a lot of cases before this. So it's a unique circumstance, Chinua. Like, it's such a privilege to get to watch this guy play. We don't have to do any sort of weirdo Julian Edelman as a Hall of Famer stuff with Steph this year to appropriately celebrate what, even by his standards, which are the only unanimous MVP, three championships as a part of that team, and already considered the all-time greatest shooter. So we will get to plenty more on Steph Curry. We'll hopefully get to our mock draft coming up in just a little bit. Coming up next, we'll get you more updates on some of the more serious situations outside of the world of sports in Minneapolis. We'll do that next here. Chinua Achebe Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chinua Achebe Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chinua Achebe and Mike Golic Jr. Now, we have been doing our thing today, per usual, with sports, NBA MVP conversation. We've talked a little bit about the NFL, especially with the draft a little over a week away here on Chinua Achebe Jr., but we know that today was a big day for our society as a whole as we awaited the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial, the police officer charged in the killing of George Floyd almost a year ago. Now, George Floyd's death and the video, which showed Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck for about 9 minutes, obviously became a catalyst for the sports world, especially with the racial and social justice movements the last summer. And it's carried over to the season where social justice councils have been found. And now we're seeing sports leagues brace for the impact with postponements and even warning based on safety. And now the verdict is in, and it reads as follows. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty of second-degree murder, third-degree murder and second-degree manslaughter by a jury Tuesday for his role in the murder of George Floyd last May outside of a local convenience store. Now, I think it's important to note that the jury came to this verdict, and this jury was comprised of 6 white, 4 black, and 2 multiracial jurors that deliberated for 9 hours over 2 days, 5 hours on Monday and 4 hours today, Tuesday, before rendering this verdict. Now, Derek Chauvin faces a 40-year maximum sentence for the second-degree murder conviction, a 25-year sentence for third-degree murder, and a 10-year sentence for second-degree manslaughter. And, Junior, I know you were following the timeline because a lot of this feeling, sentiments, and emotions are being conveyed on social media. We know that athletes are likely going to have to speak about this in media availability because that's largely what they've used their platforms for ever since we saw this video emerge over a year ago. And it's not just George Floyd. It was, you know, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and unfortunately Jacob Blake and a number of others that have forced athletes to speak on these issues, which is why we're reporting the latest, because as we move forward, especially with the season and athletes stepping to the mic, they probably will continue to message that the fight for justice still continues, even though this verdict has read guilty.
I got to tell you, though, it just feels like a moment for everyone to unclench your jaws and, like, loosen your shoulders a bit, right? Like, we were all sitting around here trying to do a radio show watching on CNN out of the corner of our eye, waiting for this to come down. And Chiney, I watched you have to live so much of this through the fall with what was going on in the WNBA bubble, you and your sister NECA, both leaders in the WNBA Players Association, and seeing all of the work that's gone into the fight for accountability in these instances. It just seems like across the timeline right now, friends of mine that I'm texting that live in Minnesota, the palpable sigh of relief right now for what's gone on, because that's what the outcry has been about for so many athletes, for so many players speaking on behalf of their community. It's just wanting to see accountability for when these things happen to people that look like them.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people wonder in these moments, why are we talking about this if we're athletes or if we're in the sports world? It's because, and I always tell people, you know, I'm a black woman and our league is comprised of 80% black women. I believe the NBA is 70% black. And we tend to be the exception and not the norm when it comes to success. Even though we are very fortunate and blessed to be athletes and to get money by playing the game that we love, we still go back home to our communities where our moms, our dads, our cousins, our brothers, our aunts, our uncles are still experiencing a lot of the issues that we have and we can't exempt ourselves from just because we have money, you know, like, and it hits home. And it's honestly, you know, life or death. And in this instance, it just reminds us that there's hope, but at the same time, there have been so many cases where the reason why we're holding our breath is because we've heard bad news. And I guess we can just hope that the tide continues to turn towards the direction in which justice is continued to be found. But even though, you know, we relax our shoulders and I can sort of breathe, I still can't, you know, just because this is just one instance, you know, and it took us a long time to get to this instance. And I think that's the sentiment that a lot of athletes are on, like relieved that we can not sort of think that our communities will have a reaction, even though people will still mobilize to say that, like, hey, we have more work to be done. But there's been so much pain and hurt that we still have to keep marching forward. And so it's difficult, Junior. It really is. But at the same time, it's a step, albeit small, in the right direction.
Chiney Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chiney Agwumike. So again, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been convicted of murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. Again, those charges were second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter, which, as Chiney pointed out, respectively carry a potential 40-year max sentence, 25-year max sentence, and 10-year max sentence. That sentencing will happen in 8 weeks. And Rachel Nichols pointed out bail was revoked, which means that Derek Chauvin goes straight to prison instead of waiting out his sentencing at home. All of these are things, Janae, that to your point feel like incremental progress here. And just thinking about the people we've talked to along the way, you mentioned the pain that you felt. We've talked to Myra Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter, who is in Minnesota, who was on the ground in Minneapolis for this verdict going down. And I remember talking to him not too long ago after the Dante Wright shooting and just how heavy his heart sounded in that moment. When you think about that city, that state in particular, and what everyone's been through there for just something that looks like accountability, for just something that looks like justice in a situation that this was as obvious as it was going to get, Janae. 9.5 minutes that we all watched of this last summer that smacked everyone in the face of a cold reality that most told us already existed, but some weren't ready to believe. And so now you've got some bit of resolution, but you're absolutely right, is I can't imagine this feels like a finish line for anyone, nor should it.
And I just want to read this because as a member of the executive committee of the WNBA, obviously we were preparing, and this is the latest statement, and I think it encapsulates a lot of what athletes are thinking. His name was George Perry Floyd Jr., and he was born on October 14th, 1973 in Fayetteville, North Carolina. On May 24th, 2020, Mr. Floyd was held down on the pavement 9 minutes and 29 seconds. During that time, Mr. Floyd struggled to breathe. He was trapped between the unyielding pavement and unyielding men who held him down. Face down, a knee to the neck, a knee to the back, 9 minutes and 29 seconds. We know what we saw. The defendant displayed a reckless disregard for humanity and for life. Mr. Floyd was denied his humanity. We know what we saw. The verdict may begin to tell the world that the death of a black person in America will not be overlooked, that the growing epidemic of police violence against black people, black men, black women, black children must end, will end today. It is up to us, the people of good conscience, to honor George Floyd, his daughter Gianna, and his family by continuing our push for comprehensive legislation to hold everyone accountable for actions like this. Yes, Gianna, your dad has changed the world.
And just hearing that response, exactly what we talked about. Eyes forward, but an understanding of the people that were affected by this, that can't get this person back, now can look at this and see what you talked about. Incremental progress. The NBA and the NBA Players Association also put out a statement that said, George Floyd's murder was a flashpoint for how we look at race and justice in our country, and we're pleased that justice appears to have been served. But we also recognize there is much work to be done, and the NBA and the NBA Players Association, together with our newly formed Social Justice Coalition, will redouble our efforts to advocate for meaningful change in the areas of criminal justice and policing. And you brought up, Janae, what people ask all the time, why do athletes keep speaking on these things? I would hope the last year has taught many people the why on that, why it's never going back, because these are people that live in these communities first and foremost. Like, you don't get to go home and take off being a black woman in America. Most of these players don't get to take that off in their communities. I don't know how many stories we need to hear of wealth not bailing people out of the treatment that comes with skin color in this country before we understand more about where this pain comes from. And so, again, I think just looking and seeing the palpable sense of relief in this moment is assuring, because we were also bracing for the worst in this, because history's taught us that this outcome wasn't even anything close to a given.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where we sort of stand. And, if there's any silver lining to what we have experienced today, especially with the verdict, it's that people are actually opening their hearts and mind to understanding what someone else's perspective is. And while we might have had a change in what verdicts typically are, have we changed enough as individuals for us to help eradicate the problems that it's not just a black and white thing or a racial thing? It's just how we treat one another as human beings. Have we created those changes so that we can move forward in solidarity and in peace? And it seems very simple, but we know it's not, especially when it comes to the criminal justice system. But, yeah. We finally breathe a little bit, but we still know that there's more to come with this fight.
Absolutely. A lot more to come, and we'll keep you updated on that. But again, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been convicted of murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. All three counts found guilty. We'll be back in a minute here. Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinay Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, I just want to say this, Junior. I really appreciate having you as a teammate because, as you heard in the SportsCenter update, with 3 hours on the clock each and every day that we tap in here on Chinay and Golic Jr., we are teammates through thick and through thin, and we just had a very difficult conversation, especially after the announcement of the Derek Chauvin verdict that found the police officer that was charged in the killing of George Floyd. He was found guilty of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter by a jury today for his role in the murder of George Floyd last May outside of the local convenience store. I just want to say I appreciate you, Junior, because I know we're always in the mix oftentimes based on our time slide, and we do get all forms of news, and this was one that was really a lot of people were concerned about, and obviously we were anxious about, and finally we find a guilty verdict, which I believe a lot of people that have been pushing out the notion for social justice, it's important, and you've always been an empathetic ear, and obviously we're going to continue to see statements put out. You just mentioned in the break that my LA Sparks, the Los Angeles Sparks, and the WNBA put out a statement. I'm sure NBA teams will be putting out statements. Players will talk about how this verdict is not just one day, and not even a celebration because a life was lost, but it just is hopefully commemorating that there is hope and there is progress to be had. And I know we have these conversations quite a bit, but Junior, you've been a great teammate in all of this.
Hey, listen, I follow your lead. I figured out a long time ago the smartest thing I can do is listen when there are things I don't know and situations I haven't experienced that come up. So you mentioned you've been leading the charge on this. The W's been leading the charge on this. The Sparks. So it's compelling to see the people doing the work get to have some modicum of relief today, and so just happy to see that for you, for the folks like you in the WNBA that have been working so hard on this, and for everyone else. We know this is something everybody has been waiting to hear, waiting to see the results of, and we finally get it today. Chinay Golic Jr. here, Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Ogwumike. We're presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. There is no easy transition on this. We know this is one of these difficult days, but Chinay said it off the top. We also want to give you something light on a day that has felt like one big balled up tense muscle in here. And so to do that, we're going to try and take you up to the NFL draft. It's next Thursday. We've done every mock in the world, but we want to do one big mega mock with our Chinay and Golic Jr. family, with some of the locals that are around these teams that are going to help make these picks. And so let's kick it off for the 2021 Chinay and Golic Jr. mock draft.
The road to Super Bowl 56 and the Lombardi Trophy starts here.
Good evening. So you ready for the draft?
The NFL draft is right around the corner. And instead of Chinay and Golic Jr. trying to navigate the mock draft landscape, we'll ask the people that actually cover and talk about these teams. It's the inaugural Chinay and Golic Jr. Mock Draft on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus.
That means we get to hear those sweet draft chimes. Excuse me. Looking forward to that.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
Ay, Dios mio, we got picks 1 through 4 coming for you today. And to help us with number one, the pick we're waiting for this entire time, we're delighted to go to the Goodyear Hotline, where Mike DiRocco, our ESPN Jaguars reporter, is joining us now. The Jacksonville Jaguars have the first pick. Mike, the floor is yours.
Yeah, the Jacksonville Jaguars have the first pick in the NFL draft for the first time in their franchise history, and there's probably no better time to have it than now. This organization has been looking for a quarterback, a franchise quarterback, since the days of Mark Brunell and the early success of the franchise in the late 90s and early 2000s. So with the first pick in the 2021 Chinay and Golic Jr. mock draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select quarterback Trevor Lawrence from Clemson.
There we go, the pick that we have all expected. It seems obvious, and we saw the gifting, the back-and-forth Twitter flirtation from Trevor. It seems like this has already been, Mike, a great fit between team and player.
I love it, Junior. I mean, this is automatic, so, like, keep talking. He'll just keep putting out his statements, and at the end of the day, we know he's probably going to still go number one, so we're good here.
Absolutely. Mike, we appreciate you joining us again, our ESPN Jaguars reporter, kind enough to come in and help us make that pick. And, Chinay, this one has felt obvious. We figured this one's been destined in the stars for a while. Number two has felt like that a little bit, but don't want to take anything for granted. So right now we head back to the Goodyear Hotline for the second overall pick in the draft. We talked to Chris Carlin, host of Carlin on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Chris, the second pick in the mock draft belongs to you. The floor is yours, sir.
Well, Mike and Shanae, appreciate that, and we just heard how the Jaguars have been looking for a quarterback since the Mark Brunell time, but the Jets have been looking for a quarterback since the Johnson administration, and that has been the ultimate downfall of this franchise. With having said that, the second pick in the 2021 Shanae and Golic Jr. mock draft, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
Woo. Congratulations, Zach Wilson. Now, Chris, I have a question for you. Do you have any qualms based on the quarterback-rich draft? Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, you're good with Zach.
My personal opinion, I have major qualms. Just consider me the guy that's delivering the card today, because all points are headed in this direction. But I believe Justin Fields would have been the better pick, and I think the Jets have gotten caught up in Zach Wilson mania, so to speak, over the course of the last couple of months.
Zach Wilson mania is a great way to describe it. Chris, we appreciate the time and the help, sir. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
Good luck, my friend.
Absolutely.
Chris Carlin, again, you can check him out, the host of Carlin on 98.7 ESPN in New York. So there we go, Chiney. Chalk to start right now, what most people expect. Number one overall for the Jags, Trevor Lawrence, and number two overall for the Jets, Zach Wilson out of BYU.
This makes me so happy, Junior, because we hear from a lot of our experts, our insiders, our mock draft specialists. Zach Wilson, that's a given. But for people on the ground like Chris Carlin in ESPN New York, obviously, like, it's just – it's good to know that maybe they're a little shook too. Like, hey, we got to get this right. We're nervous too. So that actually made me feel so much better.
Exactly. We're going to get a real feel for the temperature check around these organizations. Next hour, we've got 3 and 4 coming up for you. The San Francisco 49ers, who traded up, and the Falcons sitting at 4. Both teams that have made big time decisions, or in the Falcons' case, have decisions to make. So I have a feeling the temperature going to be pretty warm there as well. That's coming up in the next hour. But coming up next, we will check in with our friend of the show, Myron Metcalf, who is in Minneapolis as the news of the day has unfolded in the Derek Chauvin trial. We will get an update from that situation next here. Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
At the top of the hour, we will continue to get more reaction, sights and sounds and feelings from prominent voices in the sports world, a sports world that has fought for social justice, especially in the last 365 days, making sure all voices are heard, especially underserved voices. And hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, maybe we'll be down to get a little bit more normalcy when it comes to sports conversations. Steph Curry, MVP, a lot going on with the NFL. But first and foremost, we have to talk about what matters most. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Shanae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. And as we've been saying ever since we had the news, obviously, in the Minnesota community, there has been a lot of pain and suffering based on what we have been seeing transpire, interactions with police and especially the Black community. And we just found the verdict that former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty of second degree murder, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter by a jury today for his role in the murder of George Floyd last May. And for more information on this and also the sights and sounds that we look forward to hearing about, as someone who is, you know, has tremendous perspective on these issues, considering that he lives in the greater Minneapolis area, Myron Metcalf joins us on the Goodyear Hotline, ESPN college basketball reporter and radio host, also here at ESPN Radio. And Myron, I know we always call on you for these type of things that tend to be difficult. Dante Wright just affected, especially in this community. And now the verdict is in that is guilty on three parts. Now, a lot of athletes have stepped to the podium to say that this is important, you know, hopefully progress being made. And we're seeing plenty of statements throughout the sports world as well from a number of professional teams. This is the news of the day, and it touches everyone. How are you feeling? What are you experiencing right now in Minnesota?
You know, I was just outside of a sports center, and people are, you know, honking horns and Black Lives Matter flags, and somebody was singing in the background, and it's the celebration of justice, you know. And I think this entire city, this entire state has taken its first deep breath and finally been able to exhale since George Floyd didn't die. He was killed. And I think that's what happened today. He didn't just die. He was killed. And that's what that jury said. And I think in so many ways, I think about the 9-year-old girl who said we should call police. I think about the young man who said, get off of him. You're hurting him. I think about the EMT who was off duty and said, you need to stop. so many people on that scene advocated for George Floyd's life and said he mattered. And I think today the jury said that as well. So there's a sense of relief, I feel, and kind of shock, honestly, to be honest. I just didn't anticipate this, so I'm still kind of processing it.
I can imagine, Myron, and you tweeted a while ago you were heading downtown for when this verdict was getting ready to get read. What was the scene like? What was the mood like as we were waiting for this news?
You know, everybody was leaving town. A few people were going in. As I was walking to the area, people were boarding up auto shops and restaurants. They were shutting down the city. People were bracing for the worst. And then as the verdict came through, you heard people scream. You heard people sing and cheer and so many things that you just didn't anticipate. And I think this is a place that needs to heal. And you can't heal without what happened today. This isn't everything. You know, it's not like we fixed everything in Minnesota or Minneapolis, but it was a sign that maybe there is some hope ahead. Maybe there is a brighter future ahead, because it was so easy to cling to the darkness with George Floyd and Dante Wright, and finally some light that feels like is coming through.
Myron Metcalf, ESPN college basketball reporter and radio host that lives in the greater Minneapolis area on site, especially after the verdict, is joining us here on Chinea and Golick Jr., Chinea Ogwumike and Mike Golick Jr. And for you personally, I know I'm trying to process this myself and try to keep myself together. But for you personally, knowing the role that athletes have taken on in this fight, but also being a part of this community, that even though this verdict has been read and it's been guilty on three parts, we still have another name that we have to await justice for potentially. For you personally, your day, your experience, and also what you think, you know, the progress that has been made through these athletes using their platforms for change.
Yeah, I think they deserve so much praise here, because Karl Anthony Towns wasn't just talking. He was there on the street demonstrating, showing his support. The Minnesota Lynx weren't just talking. They were there demonstrating, wearing T-shirts, advocating for George Floyd's life. The Minnesota Twins, the Minnesota Vikings. Like, these athletes here, unlike athletes elsewhere who did so much across sports to show their support, the athletes here were in it, and they had to take a stand, and so many did that. And I think today just shows that what they did was valid. Their efforts were important, and I think their efforts contributed to the justice that we saw today. I mean, they made justice an urgent issue by making it a part of the platforms, and I think that they've been rewarded for that. And I'm so inspired, honestly, especially the Minnesota Lynx. You know, we talk about the Timberwolves and the Vikings and everybody else, and all those groups are important, but the Minnesota Lynx have been doing this since day one. And they've been vocal since day one. Maya Moore, you know, when she was a part of the team, other teammates, like, they have been adamant that justice has to be served. And I really respect that.
Tons of respect due to all the parties you just mentioned there, especially the women of the W who've been doing the work for a long time. Myron Metcalf, kind enough to join us here on the Goodyear Hotline on what's been a difficult and stressful day. A greater Minneapolis area resident has been on the scene downtown as this verdict was read. Myron, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your insight on all of this. Continue to stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you,
okay?
Myron.
Thank you.
Myron, kind enough to join us again here on Chinea and Golick Jr. on the Goodyear Hotline, our ESPN college basketball reporter, our ESPN radio host. But Chinea, he really has been at the center of so much of this. And I was excited to hear some of the relief from his voice, because I remember you mentioned Dante Wright when that news came down. We were 11 days into this trial for Derek Chauvin, and you could just hear it felt like one thing after another. It felt like last summer again, where it was all these old wounds getting picked at time and time again by things that had happened. And so I've seen this so many places, and it's true. It's not justice, it's accountability today, and it's one small step in this process. But make no mistake, it is a process still.
It is absolutely a process, and I'm glad he brought up the Minnesota Lynx, because I'll never forget the day that, as players in our executive committee and then also greater group chat, that we decided, hey, no matter what the league decides to do to us, we're going to wear these shirts and advocate for our communities. The league chose to fine us then, and then we pushed through, and it's been a part and an imperative for our league ever since. And so I'm glad he shouted out the women, but also it's a collective action amongst solidarity amongst all sports. You mentioned it, MLB, NBA, WNBA, NHL. Like, that's the point. And finally, I think obviously the work has helped.
Absolutely. So again, former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin found guilty of second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter by a jury today, Tuesday, for his role in the murder of George Floyd last May. Chinee mentioned all of the response that we've seen. Myron brought up the response that we've seen from athletes at times where it was not easy, where it was not readily condoned by the league. And so we will get more reaction from around the world of sports and those voices next here. Chinee Ngolick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chinee Ngolick Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.